Hey y'all, this is Bree Bagwell with the Only Vans podcast here with your recap of my episode with Sundance Head, who has one of the most amazing voices of anyone I know. And I was really thankful we got to showcase that at the last special live audience taping of this podcast at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado 2025. The winner of the hit TV show NBC's The Voice in 2016, Sundance has been showcased on a worldwide stage, but please go to sundancehead.com and check out his current tour schedule so that you can go support him and have your face melted off in person. Sundance is the son of Roy Head, who had a successful music career of his own. Roy Head and the Trades were inducted into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame in 2007, and that musical bloodline and natural entertainer vibes shine in this episode. Sundance is so funny. Oh, and we talk about the bullet still lodged in his stomach. Everyone laughs and everyone cries. Enjoy. That's big sexy, everybody.
Hell yeah.
That's what his wife calls him.
Man, so. I'm getting down to medium sexy.
And then, I think I have permission to call you that. Do you want to talk about the bullet that is lodged in your body?
Yeah, we'll talk about whatever you want.
It's still in there. Like, I was afraid. I haven't hugged you yet today. I don't know if you've noticed, because I'm like, what if I'm the one that hits that bullet wrong or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we should actually hug since we got an OnlyFans title out there. I seen Paul out here somewhere.
He loves you.
He's a good guy.
Well, we could raise some money for both of our new records, maybe, once that came out.
Man, I heard that. I'd probably get more money for me to keep my clothes on. But hey, I'll take it however I can get it.
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. And then I drunkenly asked a lady in the elevator last night if I could borrow her jacket for my show today. And she's like, here's my phone number. It was like, this jacket has to be, like, very expensive. And I was like, let me tell you, can I just have that for 2 hours? What would you charge me to rent your jacket? She was like, just text me. She's so nice. Anyway, I hope, is she here? She'll be like, oh, I didn't mean it. She gave me her real number. She texted me back last night. And then, I texted her today right before this, and my phone's on airplane mode, so I don't know what she's going to say, but it was a really nice jacket. Is everyone okay? Are you guys okay? Last day? Yeah. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Am I right? Try doing it for 13 years in a row. See how you feel. I feel very old. I went to a jam last night, though. I was not going to... I usually don't get to go to jams because I lose my voice, and then last night it was like... an undeniable jam I had to go. So I snuck out at like 2:30, which is like really good for me, guys. That's like a good job. I could have been there easily till 4 or 5 in the morning. So yeah, it's bad. We're just missing our guests. It's not a big deal.
He was sitting out there. We saw him.
Oh.
I saw him an hour ago.
Maybe we just need to like... Kyle went to get him, producer Kyle. Listen, did you guys see he called this OnlyFans on his graphic? And I shared it to my Facebook page, and my mom was like, did you see all the comments? There's like 75 comments on that. Because he's like, OnlyFans with Bree Bagwell. I was like, Sundance Head, no, that's not what we're doing here. It's one letter, but it's a big difference in the V and the F over here. It was very funny, but not a big deal. But if you haven't seen or listened to my podcast, Kyle was my tour manager for a long time, and you know, with any tour manager, we'd sit in the front seat and just talk about stuff. And Kyle produces another podcast that he's on called Texas Toast, and he was like, you should do it. And he kept, I was gonna say, like, lightly pressuring me, but he's like, I'll do all the work. And I said, oh, okay, if you do all the work, he does all the social media, all the editing, all the everything, all I have to do is show up with like a decent amount of phone battery, which is like really, really hard for me. and then I get to just bring my friends on. And so we've been doing it for a couple of years now. And last year it was pretty exciting. If you know Ed Helms from The Office and from The Hangover, and he's a big bluegrass music fan, and he started a the Bluegrass situation, which is a really big deal, and they have a bunch of podcasts, and they launched a country arm of their network, and we are the very first country podcast on this giant network, and I am like so honored that they chose me to do it, because mostly I just drink wine and ramble with my buddies, and I'm like, what, remember this embarrassing story from 10 years ago, which I'm hoping Sundance won't hate me for. We have so much to talk about. What's crazy is I had Dale Brisby on yesterday, and Brendan Anthony and John Randall from Big Loud Texas the day before, and then I had Max and Heather Stalling, and so I've kind of had to really prepare for a couple people this week because I don't know them. And like Sundance, I was like, I'm not even really going to prepare because this man has been my friend for a really, really long time, and I just can't wait to talk to him. It's not going to be hard for me at all. Well, famous last words, am I right? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, will y'all welcome my dear, dear friend, Sundance Ed.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm going to stand up, is that all right?
You can do whatever you want.
I look fat when I sit
there. Oh my gosh. It's very funny because when we started the podcast, we were doing it actually in the front seat of my Sprinter van, and every single guest was like, I hate this angle. And it was because it was just kind of like we were all kind of like in there. But
well, lucky for you, I don't have a good angle.
Whatever. How long have we been friends, do you think? Because
man, probably as I can remember, like 2000 and probably 6 or 7.
It's been a
maybe
long time.
Maybe before that, really.
Guys, we've been friends for so long that it's embarrassing. But it's really been amazing to watch Sundance's career because I've just been a fan for so long. And I think there's a lot of kind of cliques in Texas country. And like, you know, you see like the Lubbock guys all hang out. And that we were kind of a part of this Houston click, right?
Yeah, I'm not in a click. That's why I can't get made. You know what I mean?
I'm not either, but we were a bunch of like little outlaws. It was like Sundance, Jody Booth, Josh Ward. And we would all
Scooter Brown.
We would all play a bunch of shows together all the time. And I really loved those days. It was kind of like there was no pressure. It's just all of our buddies. And every time our friend Charlie Diggs would have these big birthday bashes, and we would all text Charlie and be like, please don't put us on the round with Sundance, because like you cannot follow this person after he sings. You're just like, I want to quit. I'm going to just quit music.
Well, when you have the same inseam as Danny DeVito in a suit, you got to do something. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. But it was always... I'm just so happy for your success because you deserve it. And through the years, all the things that you guys have been through, you're like, your house flooded and just crazy things. And it's when if you didn't know, Sundance won The Voice. Did you know that? Okay, he won The Voice, yeah. Yeah, they're like, duh, that's why we're here.
Originally, I tried out for America's Next Top Model.
But I want to talk about The Voice because a lot of people don't know that I was also on The Voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that The Voice does a really good job of preparing you and like setting you up for success in terms of they give you a vocal coach, they give you a stylist, right? They did all that for you, I'm sure.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So do you have that same opinion? I mean, I was so terrified to go on a reality TV show where they make fun of you and make you look stupid.
They do a really good job of artist development on the show, but once the show is over, it's over.
Goodbye?
Goodbye.
You're on your own?
You're on your own, man. And, well, we had a good time after that. And I won in 16, and Blake actually did take me under his arm. And we went on tour with him on the Doing It to Country Songs tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything was going well for me finally. And then COVID hit, you know. And during that time, I had a lot of things in my life come together. It was like a perfect storm. So I don't know. Everybody handles that differently. For me, I think it was a great thing. I didn't become sober from alcohol until 2 years ago, and I wish that I could have had that opportunity again with a clear mind.
I understand that. Producer Kyle's telling me you need to get closer to the mic. I'm super sorry.
Hello. All right.
That's what we pay him $8 we pay him. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's recap. What I've been trying to tell you is I've been screwing a lot of stuff up, but now I'm trying to do it right.
Well, I mean, the thing, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
because the last time we were at the awards together and you were talking to me about being sober, and that's a conversation you and I have had so many times, because you really don't understand how people can slip into that. When you start out in music, you're like, why are they like, and then the more you're in the music industry, the easier, or you can actually see the path of why it's easy to become addicted to substances. Yeah. It's like way easier than I would have even thought.
Well, everybody drank in my family growing up. So my dad was an entertainer, Roy Head. And I just thought everybody played music and did drugs and drank. That's just what everybody did. So it was normal. It was really normal in my household. And I drank every day my whole life, just about, man. So whenever I quit drinking back in 2023, I guess it was 2 years this summer. So I'm not sure when it was. I used to count every day. Now I don't even remember. But for me, I had to get sober. It wasn't that I wanted to, but it was more of a divine intervention from the Lord. You know, my mom was in hospice and I would go see her every day. My wife was taking care of her at our house. My career was over. It was COVID. My dad had died. I was deemed non-essential, so I went broke. All our investors pulled out. I was drinking every day. It turned into sport drinking for me, and I was just very unhappy. I gave up on life. I got up to 387 pounds, and I just didn't care anymore, man. And one day, I went to see my mom, and she told me, she said, you know, you come and see me every day, and I really appreciate it, and you know I'm dying. She said, but seeing you like this every day, I think you're the one dying.
Goodness.
So I promised her that night I would quit drinking. She said it was her death wish, and she would die a couple of weeks later. But so I told her I would, and I had quite tried to quit drinking for myself many times, but I never had the real stones to be able to do it. But it was... I tell everybody my mom gave me life on earth twice, and it's not a lie. So she saved my life, and now I just live every day honoring her and staying true to what I told her.
Yeah.
And it's changed my life, everybody.
Mm-hmm. You're a great person, and I absolutely love your wife. You know this. We don't talk often, but when we do, it's like a two-hour conversation, and we're both like, let me tell you about this thing that happened. And that's my little firecracker. I love her. And she... I have always said, I remember watching, the first example I remember was Cody Johnson's wife, and she's like, oh, I got CDs all over the living room and then stuffing them in the mail to radio. And I was like, that's what I need as a wife.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like all these amazing wives helping there. Like, I loved that. And Misty,
not anymore. Okay. She's taking care of my family whenever, so it was a weird thing that happened to us. Her mother actually got ill and became where she couldn't move. So she was at our house. Misty was taking care of her. And then my mom went into hospice. So she was taking care of both of our moms for 4 years. And so I started trying to take care of more of it. And now she's just like, you know, hey, make sure you deposit the check. When are you coming home?
Amazing. Because she really held the reins for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do anything without her. That's for sure. And she was doing a wonderful job. I think if I wasn't doing everything in my power to sabotage it, we probably would be a lot further along.
I think the music industry, it's lightning in a bottle kind of too. And sure. A lot of people have.
Well, I sure do need to get struck. You know anybody that could help me out, I'm here. Tell them you saw Sundance Head today with Bree Bagwell, and I was tall and handsome. We're trying to get my numbers up online.
You and me both. You were actually trying to get our numbers up online by calling this OnlyFans. Everyone was like, woo!
Well, that was a typo, and I actually make my own posters, you can tell. So I actually didn't know I did that until you told me, and then I went back, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, your wife texted me like, I'm leaving. I'm so sorry. No, it's great, and I'm so glad that we got to do this and that you agreed to do this, but the special thing about doing these live in front of an audience is that we can play songs.
Well, you know, OnlyFans, that was kind of, I'd like to get back on that. That was kind of funny. And I was talking to a guy this morning. We were sitting around and he goes, have you been to the hot springs yet? And I said, no, I'm fixing to go do OnlyFans with Bree Bagwell. And he said, well, you might not want to go up there, Sundance, because you'll see a lot of boobies and hanging skin. And I said, well, I just got out of the shower. I've seen all that already. I already seen that this morning, you know? But,
The hot springs is something I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of time when we're here working. Man. But, okay, on that note, I have nowhere to go after that conversation. I think you should just play us a song.
All right, well, I'll play you guys a song that I actually just wrote about 3 or 4 days ago. I don't know if y'all know, but I did get shot in the stomach a month ago.
We're going to talk about it. Don't give it away. Okay. But no. You do you.
Well, I will come back to it, you know. But I got, well, anyway, long story short, I almost died. And I've been sober for 2 years, and I believe the Lord has helped me navigate this last 2 years of my life. I think I'm here for a reason, and I don't know what it is, but I wrote this song called "The Road to Redemption," and "The Road to Redemption" is going to be the title track to my new record. Oh. On the road to redemption. Spirit and the Lord on the road to redemption. It's a hard one to hold, and it comes with a sound only sinners will know. A breaking heart and soul. It's not paved in glory. Well, I prayed one night and I was bathed in the light. And now I'm coming around to tell my story. Well, I cried out to the Lord. Take this pain. And may your will be done before kingdom come for me. I don't think this guitar's in tune. On the road to redemption. It's not paved in gold. It's a long way down with no one around. Just you, a spirit and the Lord. It's a long way down with no one around. Just you, a spirit and the Lord. Just you, a spirit and the Lord. Thank you so much.
No.
I think that was the devil trying to do a little work here so I can get that song out, you know.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Listen, you're so good. If your guitar gets out of tune, it means you're like a tiny bit human, and we're so thankful for that.
Thank you. I just tried to sing a cappella.
That was beautiful. What? Before I really start crying, you're missing that string, right? I know you so well, I don't even know why you do that. Well, I'm just like, yeah, he does that. And people are like, why? And I'm like, I actually don't have any idea why he doesn't have that.
I learned string. On a 5-string Neumann guitar. He was the guitar tech for Keith Richards for a long time. And a guy named Fred Middlebrook gave my dad one back in 82, and I started playing on it. And just never learned how to use the 6-string. So people say, Sundance Head, why do you play with 5 strings? And I tell them, Hey, man, I only got five fingers.
Beautiful. You are an incredible guitar player. If you have never seen Sundance with his band, too, y'all roll three-piece.
There's two more of us.
What?
One of them is in here, I think. There's Dustin right there.
I'm super sorry. He's
Mr.
leaving.
Mr. Dustin Edwards. He's the most talented drummer in our band.
Oh. He's like, I'm leaving. I hate Brie Bagwell. She had no idea I was a part of the band now. Anyway, always a great band. And I love your guys, too. They're always super kind. Oh, and you guys put on a great show. What are the plans for that next record? Do you have plans for that yet? Or what are you going to do? Or where?
We're recording it right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm really excited to play it, man. I got a couple songs. You want to play another one? We got time?
No, we have so much time. Like, we have the most time, and I'm a tiny bit hungover. So listen, the more you want to do, the less I have to
All right. Well, here's so when I got sober, man, I didn't know how to handle things, really. I thought that getting sober from alcohol, the hard part was going to be not drinking the alcohol, but that's not what the deal is. It's having to face all of the stuff that you haven't been taken care of, you know. And so, anyway, so I wrote a song for myself because I write songs for everything. And I learned to love myself again recently, and I'm real, real happy to be, to have the opportunity for a second life and a second opportunity to be here today in front of you people. But so this song is called More Than I Did.
Everybody,
hell yeah,
that's what his wife calls him.
Me, so. I'm getting down to medium sexy.
Oh, Dan, I think I have permission to call you that. Do you want to talk about the bullet that is lodged in your body?
Man, we'll talk about whatever you want.
It's still in there. Like, I was afraid, I haven't hugged you yet today. I don't know if you noticed, because I'm like, what if I'm the one that hits that bullet wrong or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we should actually hug since we got an OnlyFans title out there. I seen Paul out here somewhere.
He loves you.
He's a good guy.
Well, we could raise some money for both of our new records, maybe, once that came out.
Man, I heard that. I'd probably get more money for me to keep my clothes on. But, hey, I'll take it however I can get it.
I love it so much because I have a new agent that I signed with last year, and he's out of Nashville, and he's gotten, like, two really weird, you know, feet picture Brie Bagwell requests. And he's like, I just don't have this problem with Reckless Kelly. And I'm like, is it a problem or is it an opportunity? I don't know.
Feet pictures, huh?
I mean,
I could show y'all my feet. All my toes are the same length. My feet are square.
Is that true?
It is true. I don't know what that means.
Prove it. No. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Well, when we all found out, Misty was everyone was kind of kept informed about that, and we were just like.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Misty jinxed me, actually. She said her quote is the thing that went viral, not the fact that I got shot, but it was the fact that my fatty tissues prevented me from dying. I told her, I said, for once, beer finally saved my life.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma. Side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
That's wild. But the fact that, I mean, you duct taped your bullet wound. Like, you have to feel like that was terrifying, yes, but now that you're on the other side of it, you're like, I'm pretty badass. Do you feel like that?
Well, I'm not sure what happened, really. I had an HR-22 revolver, an old Heritage cowboy gun, you know, and it had six in there, but it wasn't cocked. And it was in a quick draw neoprene holster. It didn't have a holster strap, a hammer strap. And I set it in my Jeep with my backpack, and I watched it slide out in slow motion. And it was one of those things, it was like slow motion, and I was like, you know, trying to stop it. But and then the gun went off, and I thought, dang, dude, that could have been dangerous. And then I smelled gunpowder, and I looked down and put my hand over my stomach, and my fingers were full of blood, and I was like, damn, I'm shot. I couldn't believe it. I said, no effing way. But it was true. And then, and so I didn't know what to do, man. So I put my hands in my pockets to call my wife, and my phone wasn't there. But I noticed my pockets were already full of blood in my blue jeans. And then I noticed that my boots were full of blood in my socks. And I thought, damn, I'm going to die. And I didn't know what to do. I was by myself. So I had my hatchback open in my 99 Jeep Wrangler. And I seen a roll of Gorilla Tape. I will take a sponsorship, Gorilla. So I grabbed that Gorilla Tape, ripped it off, and started patching that hole. And I ran out to the highway, and it's about a half a mile from where I was, and I was alone. So I just took off running, man, and I jumped two 5.5-foot metal cattle fences with, like, one leap. I'm pretty sure if they had a camera crew out there now, and they're like, all right, Sundance Head, you can do this right now. We'll give you $1 million. I'd be broke, you know what I mean? So I got out to the highway, and then I was trying to flag people down on 84. Anybody familiar with 84 goes from Palestine to Rusk up there in East Texas? Okay, well, you just got to trust me. Mm-hmm. All right. So about 15 cars went by, and no one would stop. I'm sure I looked crazy, but I was trying to stop them. And finally, I just laid down on the side of the road on 84, and I thought, man, I'm going to bleed out right here and die. And really, all I could think about was I wanted to tell my wife that I loved her, so I wanted to talk to her. But so finally, an old Vietnam veteran turned around. I don't know this gentleman's name. I sure would like to know who he was. because I'd buy him lunch, really. So he pulled over and he saved me, man. And he told me to take it easy. And he was keeping me from bleeding out. And the ambulance came, and then they put me in the ambulance. The officer said, "Is it self-inflicted?" I said, "It sure was." He said, "Did you do it on purpose?" I said, "Hell no, I love myself." I said I wasn't even holding that gun. And I used to tell people guns don't kill people, people kill guns, but I was tried murdered by an HR-22. But anyway, so they took me to UT. So they took me to Rusk, Texas. They put me on a helicopter, and they flew me to UT Medical, where I went in. I was going to go into the triage, and they were going to do surgery. So on the helicopter ride, I'm starting to see like God and my family that have passed away and all this stuff. And I thought in my mind during this time, I'm thinking, man, I'm fixing to ascend to heaven. You know, later I found out they were giving me fentanyl, prepping me for surgery. Man, I was high. Woo. And so when I got there, we got to UT Medical. The weirdest thing happened to me, I had no idea was fixing to go down. So the whole time I'm worried about dying, staying alive, it never crossed my mind that I'm going to have to go into surgery and they're going to cut my pants off and I'm going to be naked in front of 12 strangers, 9 of them being female. And I had to explain how I wasn't very excited about the whole thing. It was horrible. It was like my worst fear in real life. I was almost like, just take me back out there. But
I have a worse one than that.
My God, they cut everything off. I was laying there naked. I had to tell them girls how I wasn't, you know, I had to explain I'm a grower, not a shower. You know, I said, I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't tell nobody you seen me here.
Yeah.
If you'll go out and give me about 6 minutes and then come back, maybe it'll be a different story. But so then they put me in there and they did the CAT scan, and the doctor came out. She's kind of giggling, and I'm like, I really don't know what's going on. And she goes, "Well, Mr. Head, you've been shot. We have good news. It didn't hit any vitals." They said, "So we're gonna release you today." I'm like, "What the hell just happened to me, man?" I really thought I was dead. I was praying to God. And the weirdest thing was on that ride, it was like I had this huge peace come over me when I thought really I was going to die. And I prayed to the Lord to accept me into heaven and to allow my family and children to be prosperous. And I just laid there just waiting, you know. And it was the weirdest feeling of peace, man. I can't really explain it. But, yeah, so... So, and they left it in too. So, they said it would be more evasive to remove it. So they just left it in there. So now I can walk around and tell people, you know, I've been in a gunfight, you know. I said, I shot a guy and I got shot.
How does that go with TSA?
You said, huh?
Have you been to the airport yet?
No, I hadn't, but I'm sure when I have to explain, I'm just going to tell them. I don't know what I'll say.
That's a very unique TSA situation. Right,
I know.
There.
Well, they used to check me all the time. I would always have to stop because there would be like metal around my groin area down there. They would always trigger metal, and I'm like, I don't have any metal down there. But after getting shot and running out to the highway for about a mile and a half and living through it, I think I got balls of steel. Hey, it took a while to set that one up, but
I had a feeling something was coming out of that. I've known you long enough. Well, I'm glad you kept talking because I was about to tell everyone how I was awake for a colonoscopy, and I'm glad we just didn't go there. But,
wait. I got a story about that.
Okay, great.
So yeah. I accidentally had a colonoscopy when I was 41. And it was unintentional, and I wasn't prepared. My wife had come home from Kroger, and she had these dried beet chips. And everyone was gone, so I just grabbed them, and I ate half of that bag watching TV. Well, the next day, I woke up, and I had blood in my stool. And I was alone, and immediately, I thought, I have ass cancer. So I went to the emergency room, and I had the colonoscopy. And I didn't know what was going on. I'm married to guys like, do you want a gown? I was like, a gown, man, for what? He's like, well, we're going to have to give you the check, you know? And I was like, I need to call my wife, you know? So long story short, they call us in there. They're like, you want your family to come in for this? I said, yeah, bring them in, you know, because I'm thinking this guy's going to give me some bad news. And he says, Mr. Head, have you been eating beet chips? So, I said, yes, sir, I have. And I do notice now they don't even sell that product anymore. I told Misty we probably missed out on a class action lawsuit, if you know what I mean. Class action. All right, well.
Can you play
a doing the
song?
Best I can do.
You're doing a great job. I just think that, like, I'm so glad you brought a guitar, because there's only one way to go from these conversations.
Sure, all right. I play a lovely song I wrote for my beautiful wife. We've been together 25 years this year. And if she don't kill me, it'll be 26.
Uh-huh.
She's heard all my jokes, and I'm not very funny anymore to her. But I am getting better looking every day, and if you don't believe me, you can ask her, because I tell her every day. you can imagine my surprise to lose 160-something pounds and realize I have adult dimples. Now I just walk around trying to make them pop. I quit drinking water. Thought maybe if I dehydrate myself, they'll be more... They'll be more flashy.
I don't think that's how dimples work. I don't
know. Darling, don't go leave me all by myself.
I don't think
I can make. I promise. Come on, Brie, don't get me crying.
No, no, it's fine. I just have a show in like an hour. Like,
no, it's so good. And I was, we were so proud of you when you were on that show because, I mean, Sundance, when we were playing like the bars and honky tonks like 15 years ago together, and he would sing that song, and we were all just looking at each other like, what? You know, if it was up to us, you know, you would be the most. And so to see you win The Voice, we were so unbelievably proud of you. And then when you like shot yourself, we were like, what the hell? Like,
my God,
we,
man.
We were all so worried. And anyway,
well, thank you so much. Well, like, I love you, Bree. So thank you for having me on your show.
This is the worst. Okay. I don't think I've ever cried on the podcast. This is the first. Kyle's crying. Kyle. Yeah. Oh, I need God, those champagne. Yeah. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, Bree, that's what I do to women, man. I make them cry.
I love it. What was rare is when I was on The Voice, they chose my song, and I said, I don't want to sing this song, and they said, kind of basically, too bad, and they let you sing that song. I don't know how, there has not been many original songs on that. Like, you might be one of the only people who has ever been allowed to sing an original song, right?
Yeah, I lucked out, man, because Blake liked the song. He goes, dude, you wrote that? I said, yeah, I wrote it, man. He said, well, we're going to let you do it on the show. They also let me do Treat Her Right, my dad's song.
Yeah, and he was there.
Yeah, so that was the first and only time I've ever received a check for airplay was whenever they did Darling Don't Go on there.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. So that song was actually number one for a week and a half on Apple iTunes worldwide. It beat Drake Rihanna in The Weeknd. Then I won The Voice and they signed me to their hip-hop label, Republic New York, you know, because they know what to do.
Yeah.
But
and then you got your check for, I don't know, I'm not going to, I just think I would be curious to know what, like, that's got to be a good check, right?
A winner's check? To win? Oh, well, you know, the check, they don't really pay you a whole lot once you win, but it's the opportunities that come.
Uh-huh.
So we were able to make a bunch of money after the show, touring and stuff. Unfortunately, COVID took all the funds I had, and so now I'm broke, and I really need everyone here to download my music.
Yeah.
Tell everyone you saw Sundance Head today with Bree Bagwell, and he was tall and handsome. We're trying to get our numbers up online, and if you know a benefactor looking for someone to spend some money on, I have some songs, and I'm getting better looking by the day. I figure by this time next year, I'll be sexy as hell.
I've been thinking about going on Shark Tank and being like, hi, sharks, who wants to set their money on fire? Yeah. I'm looking for, you know, like $100,000 in exchange for 0% of my company. Like, it's just like, if music is really not a good investment, and I shouldn't have said that out loud. It's a terrible investment, but it's basically, we rely on people's generosity.
Sure.
And it gets exhausting asking for money all the time, but there's honestly no other way to do it because the cost of making a record now, and then like COVID really kind of took our level of venues and they didn't really recover.
I know, man. So it's a weird spot right now for people that are trying to do this for a living. And if now you have to be also a media creator, which I wouldn't have a problem, I think, with my personality to come across on some kind of platform like that. I just don't know how to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I'm not smart enough to do it. And so I'm kind of just floating around. You know, I'm that old school dude that's hoping one day someone's going to realize that I'm not just super good looking, but I also can write songs and sing, you know?
We've been threatening to write a song together for a long time, me and you.
Oh,
like,
I know.
At least a decade. We're
I'm ready, man. So the first co-write I ever did was with Dean Dillon in Nashville.
Right. That was on my list to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because he produced that 2019 record, right?
He did. It was a great record. Stained Glass and Neon was a beautiful album we went. So I never went to Nashville until I was 40, and I met with Dean up there and Buddy Cannon and Jamie Johnson, and they all kind of took me into the camp, and everything was going well, you know. So here I am.
If you don't know who Dean Dillon is, I bet you most people do, but there's a lot of people watching that
sure
don't know. But if you want to describe
him. Oh, he's like the Dalai Lama of songwriters.
Yeah.
And he's still alive. So, and it was really awesome to see them honor him this past year. while he was alive. Because a lot of times the industry we're in, unfortunately a lot of industries will do this. They'll wait until someone dies and then go, you know what? That person was amazing. Let's celebrate them and their work, their lifetime's work. So yeah. It was cool to be able to do that for him while he was still alive. And Dean is one of the sweetest people I've ever met.
I got to write with Dean too, and we wrote a song, and I think it was okay. It wasn't super great, but at the end, he plays his cool nylon string guitar, and then at the end of that, he goes, "Well, Bree, I like the hell out of that." And I cut that little part up, and I used it as my ringtone for a long time. I was like,
right, so
a legend.
The first time I wrote with him, I never co-wrote with anybody. And where I came from in East County, you would write a song because you went through that experience, and then figure out what are you going to name it. Well, then you go to Nashville, and they come up with a name, and then write a song around the title.
Yeah,
and so I was confused about that whole thing, but. So we get together, me and Dean. He's like, "You got any ideas, Sundance?" And I'm like, "Well, I got a few." So I played him about 70 songs, and finally he goes, "I waited and played my best song for him. I knew he was gonna love it." And we sit there in silence for a minute. And he goes, "You know what, Dance?" I said, "What is it, Dean?" He goes, "You should save that one for your record."
Aw, lovely.
Like, oh, okay. No, he didn't like it.
Oh.
He was saying, it's not, save that one. Let's write another one,
I see. The whole audience was like, Bree didn't get that joke. Yeah, they were like, got it.
Yeah, so I didn't realize how famous he was either. So they're like, "Hey, we're going to fly you to Gunnison. You're going to stay with this dude up here in his ranch." And so I walk in the guest ranch, and there's just wall-to-wall gold records and plaques for songwriting. I'm like, oh, my God. So I pull out my flip phone, and I'm Googling this guy. And I go out and call Misty. I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "This dude's like a real songwriter. What am I going to do?" She goes, "Well, just go in there and act cool." And so I'm in there just trying to be as cool as I can be, And then Dean goes, "I got a friend coming to write with us today." And I said, "All right." And in through the door walked Bubba Strait.
Okay, yeah. What a great day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad, I was super nervous when I wrote with him, which is maybe why my song with him wasn't super great.
Sure.
Because I knew too much, and I was so intimidated. But he's not an intimidating person. He's, the sweetest man in the whole world.
Yeah, so after writing with Dean, I learned a few things about songwriting. One of them was I didn't know anything about it. And then that was pretty much my hardest lesson to learn. But lately I've been trying to write better songs. You try to figure out what to do. You struggle between trying to figure out how do I do this, man? How do I break out? How do I go viral, How do you get these clicks and have all this stuff happen where you can get the eyeballs on the art? And it's like a mystery, man.
Well, for me, it was singing about sugar daddies in the style of Little Mermaid. That was my viral TikTok thing.
Maybe
and
I should
I'm still
try
waiting
it.
For my record deal with my millions of views for my viral moment.
Well, I should try that, man.
You should try it.
Maybe I could dress up as a Ron Jeremy stunt double. And
who commented that on that post today?
I don't know who said that.
It was anyway, that's not what we're here for. You want to do one more song? And then I can't believe this already flew by. Holy moly. It's because we're best friends. Are we best
we're
friends?
We're besties.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I knew it.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I've always admired you, and I tell everyone that you're the hardest working person in this business, and I stand on it. So.
Thank you.
If I had your work ethic, I could probably, who knows where I'd be right now. Maybe I'd be running this podcast, Bree.
No, I tell Paul, I was like, maybe I'm not good at anything. And everyone's like, well, Bree, she works hard. Because no one's ever like, I think you're the greatest songwriter ever. It's just like, well, she's a really hard worker. It's like, maybe no one's ever been honest with me about that. No, I'll take that compliment. I appreciate it.
Well, what can I say? So, This song here, my wife's going to kick my butt because I'm playing a bunch of songs no one ever heard, but I think that's probably most of my catalog, So I wrote this song. This is my greatest missus.
Greatest missus? Can you please make that a record title? That was amazing.
Thank you. You can have half. Okay. So here we go. So I wrote this song about not drinking. I've been 2 years sober from alcohol August 1st this year, and you guys all know what happened there. So I had a dream one night. I woke up and my wife had given me a drink in my dream. And I woke up and I told her, man, I drank last night in my dream. And whenever I drank it, I felt it consume my body. And, you know, and I wrote a song about it. That's the only way I can deal with it. But my favorite part in this song is it says, I'm sitting at the table with a bottle and a gun and I'm reaching for the handle, but I don't know which one because they're both going to kill me. And that's literally where I was. I was at the end of my rope, folks. And luckily for me, I hit rock bottom, and it's nice and shiny above that area. You know what I mean? Now everything's badass. I had a dream last night that I drank. Holy moly.
I don't know what happened there, but that is... how my guitar sounded at the outdoor stage yesterday in the freezing cold.
Well, I can tell you what happened if we got time.
No, we got time.
There's an idiot tuning this guitar.
Listen.
Is this right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. You're asking the wrong person, but nope, that's definitely not right.
It's live, everybody.
Kyle, don't edit this out. This is amazing. Sundance, like this person that's really good at music.
Finally going to go viral for tuning my guitar in front of people. Might as well be naked up here. I had a dream last night that I drank. Oh, the first time in years. Spirit entered my body, my soul filled up with tears. Now I'm sitting at the table with a bottle and a gun, and I'm reaching.
Thank you.
do people come up and grab your beard braid thingies?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, I get...
Are you fine with that, or is it like...
No, that's
don't
cool.
put your hands on my... Okay, let me do it.
Go for it, man. I just washed it. Yeah, so I get confused for Gimli from Lord of the Rings from time to time. We were at Comic-Con. I was signing autographs.
You do look like you could kick some ass.
I'm a tender fella, but yeah, I will kick your ass.
You are, and I appreciate you letting me stare lovingly at you for an hour. I feel I forget that we're on camera, and I feel like the whole time I've just been like...
Well, I can't wait to watch it back. Finally!
For real, one of my absolute favorite people in the entire world. I want to thank Dirt Trail Entertainment for sponsoring our live podcast at Music Fest. Thank you guys so, so much for making this happen. This has been such a special week for me. This is the last one. And they have an amazing artist named Casey Johns. It's the letters KCJohns.rocks. Please check her out. And thanks again to Dirt Trail for helping us out, because it's been such a really lovely time. And I got to hang out with my best friend, Sundance Head. So make sure, do you want to plug your socials and stuff really quick?
Yeah, it's Sundance Head with a blue check. Y'all follow me on social media and follow me down to Slopeside. We're going to go play a full set down there at 6 o'clock.
It's right after my show. That works out nice.
So y'all could go see Bree's show, and then you can follow Bree to my show.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Sundance Head, thank you guys so much for coming. Music Fest, thank you, Dixon Productions, and we'll see y'all next time.